get ready.
Good morning.
Good morning and welcome to Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible and Bible's own way, and what a glorious day of grace that we have. We're just sitting here smiling and stuff because we've been talking about witnessing and who we are and all that good, great stuff. But before we get started, we do have a special that Sherry wants to sing for us. So we just give her the time.
There's a lot of beautiful songs out there, and I just learned this one from a great friend of mine in Chicago, and I have literally played it every day while I get dressed for work. And so I hope it blesses your heart as much as it blesses mine. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there, until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You know, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus Christ, where would you be?
Lost.
You'd be lost.
Hopeless.
Because you're not going to be able to make up for it. There's no gold, no silver, no precious stones, no nothing that you can put up for your salvation.
Amen.
Good morning once again. Morning. Another announcement I need to make right quick. Don't forget our conference, Ohio Grace Ministries. It's coming May 27th. It's coming down the track. And so we hope that you will be able to join us. I know a lot of people are still calling about rooms. You don't have to have the room to come to the conference, okay? The conference is free. You come there, and we want you there. So if you're traveling, if you have any questions, you can go to ohiograceministries.org or call me on our Dispensational Bible Church, and we do expect to see each and every one of you. If not, we'll see you in, be in thought and prayer about that. Let's go in word of prayer. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. As we think about the studying the Word of God rightly divided, what a blessing it is that you have given us to understand. You want us to have knowledge and wisdom and understanding and our eyes and our ears and our hearts should be filled with this knowledge that you've given us through the word. But we also know that there's people out there, Lord, that may be saved, but they're still have blinders on when it comes to just knowing this wonderful truth that through the distinct ministry of Apostle Paul, that you have given us in the dispensation of grace. And we also are thankful that in this world, that the declaration has been proclaimed that you are grace and peace with the world. But one day you will be taking us out of here, and it's going to be wrath and judgment for those that are in this ages to come, will be in the ages to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. We're in lesson 45. We're moving right along here. I know many of you probably could go through this lessons and be done with it in a day and a half. But we are thankful for the curriculum and the Word of God we have in the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. Also the curriculum that the Grace School Bible has provided us. And many of you know we've been doing this for a long time. Been here since 2005, and we are thankful that we have you guys that are not visiting, our regulars here today. And it's always good to see smiling faces and all. And those are tuning in through our broadcast. And we might talk about that a little bit later. We're in the book of Jude. If you go to Jude, we looked at last week Hebrews. We went through Hebrews, 1st and 2nd Peter, and 1st and 2nd John, and we left off about John talking about the born again and all, and we compared some things. But Jude 3. Now, so far we talked about times past, but now and ages to come. Yeah. And we haven't talked, we're in ages to come right now in the threefold division in God's word. And Hebrews, once again, who do you think Hebrews is written to?
Hebrews.
Thank you. Are you a Hebrew today?
No. Mm-hmm.
Can you be a Hebrew today?
No.
You sitting here right here or listening right now, can you change your, is it nationality?
Yeah.
To a Hebrew?
Yeah.
You can?
Sure. You could change the Jew.
No, I didn't say Jew. I said Hebrew.
Oh, that's a nationality.
Oh.
Okay. There's a big distinction in that because Hebrew is the people. Judaism is the
religion.
Very good. And you can become a Jew. Anybody can become, that part. Yes, true. So Hebrews, and then what? James. James says to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Then you got 1st and 2nd Peter. Peter's talking about to the strangers. And then you got John. We looked at John last week, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. And now you're in Jude. Jude 3 says, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye shall earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Now, when was this faith once delivered to the saints?
Matthew, Mark,
Luke, and John. What does verse 17 say? But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's another question. When were the words spoken before by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ? And I mean, that's a good question, isn't it? That's the 12 in the early Acts period. He exhorted them in a verse to remember the faith that was delivered to them by Christ, and they spoke it. Now, we read in Hebrews, it was spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now, who's the us?
The nation Israel.
Nation Israel, or the apostles. Okay? So like all the Hebrew epistles, Jude is going back over there to the minister of Jesus Christ. And what time period? Jude is not going to take the people over here in ages to come in the Hebrew epistles. He's not going to take them over here in but now epistles where you're at now. Mm-hmm. He's going to, because Jesus didn't speak over here, but through who?
Apostle Paul.
Through the distinct ministry of Apostle Paul, that's how he speaks today. By the way, how does God speak today?
His word.
Amen. That's a, we're Bible. We're actually people of the Bible. We get our words from the Bible. We get our ministry through the Bible. And we also get it from each other. That's why it's important that you have a local church and all. But remember, this is the reason. You look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that Christ in those books was preparing the 12 and the little flock for the ministries that they would have in his absence. Listen, when Lord Jesus Christ left this earth, was Jesus Christ light of the world? Was he light in a dark world?
Yes.
Where's he at today? He's royal. Is it dark out there? Mm-hmm. It sure does seem like it's dark out there, don't it? But who's supposed to be the light of the world right now?
We are.
Isaiah 60 talks about that city being a light out there in the dark. Remember Goshen? Remember when the plagues went, there was darkness all over the land except where? And you can imagine what that light was at Israel, being that light in that dark world down there, and how bright it probably looked from miles and miles away. You know that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine," put it under a bushel, oh no, I'm gonna let, that type of thing. We're light. They're going to be light in ages to come in that dark world. It's going to get darker than you ever thought about before. Remember Matthew chapter 12? Matthew chapter 10. How did the Lord Jesus Christ prepare these little flock ministries? Matthew chapter 10. And get John chapter 21. Matthew chapter 10. When if Jude's referring back to what Lord Jesus Christ taught, who was he teaching it to? Okay. Did the Lord Jesus Christ prepare the 12 to go to the Gentile nations?
No.
Okay. Would you think over in this time period over here, what is up? What is the, are they are there a distinction over here?
The middle wall partition
is up. So you got circumcision, uncircumcision, back. Mm-hmm. But now, are there a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision?
No.
Are there a distinction between Jew and Gentile?
No.
Bond free,
no.
Male, female.
No.
There's no distinction today. We're all down here. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manners of sickness and all manner of diseases. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go, verse 5, go not in the way of the Gentiles and enter into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. But go rather to who?
The lost sheep
of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely we give. And you go all the way down through there. He's telling them what you're going to do. In fact, he goes on and says, hey, don't you think I've become, think I've brought peace, but I've come to be what?
Make division.
Division. That's something serious. He knew that world system over there was corrupt and everybody was just living off in the religion system. John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Verse 15. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16. He said it to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith to him, feed my sheep. He saith to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said it to him the third time. It's not enough to say it the first time. When you had kids, I'm going to tell you one time. You do it again, and guess what they do?
Do it again.
I'm going to tell you a second time. You do it again, and what do they? Third time, they know they're in trouble. But anyway, Peter grieved. Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my sheep. Who is the lamb and who's the sheep here?
Israel.
So is he going to say, Peter, you love me, go feed the nations? Did he say that? Do you know that through Paul's epistle, he never calls you sheep? Not one time does he call you sheep. Okay? Just think about that. Now, Lord Jesus Christ is shepherd and bishop of all things. We know that. Mm-hmm. Okay? But he does not call you sheep. Sheep is a very vulnerable animal. You know that?
Yes.
They'll follow goats. They'll follow them right off a cliff. Goats will chase them up. And they'll follow anything. They're very vulnerable. But you say, I was saying down home, sheep are what?
Stupid.
Don't be stupid. Okay, but anyway, who's a lamb, who's sheep there? So they begin in the early Acts period, but it was interrupted, and it will be taken up again. The Acts period, what happens in Acts?
Diminishing.
They fall, they diminish, they're cast away. But has God forgot about them?
No.
That kingdom program has been interrupted and will be picked up back over there in the great tribulations. When the book of Hebrews through Revelations, that's where we're at right now, will explain doctrine for those that are about to, that program will operate in ages to come. Listen, this is very, very important for you Bible believers. And very, very, very important to understand right division. Tom was sharing how he was talking to a teacher, and he explained, he got drawn out a timeline through her life, through what she was taught. I believe wholeheartedly, and some of you do believe right now, what God is doing today and but now, people's telling you, you have to believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mm-hmm. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. Okay. Nowhere does Paul says his writings in the church epistles, the body of Christ, tells you to go back over here and get your information for how do you survive. Now you can learn from it. And you sure don't go to ages to come over here and look and say, these books are for me, or to me. Now, they're for you, I should say, but they're not to you. I believe there's going to be people over here trying to convince people that you have to live this way and not listen to Hebrews through Revelation. Now, they are things that we'll need to understand that they were not told back in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about what Jesus was telling them? They didn't understand it? Are there some things that Jesus is telling you today through Paul that you might not understand?
Sure.
That's why I'm going to take that dirt bath over there, and I'm going to understand what God has me in this mystery program, because all this other stuff is just gravy. But this is meat. And just bear with me for a minute. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and early. For example, there has been almost 2,000 years of a program that has interrupted their program. And they need to understand why the delay. Think about that for a minute. For almost 2,000 years, this program right here, the mystery program that God had hid in himself, has interrupted this program right here. Mm-hmm. What a curveball. Mm-hmm. And you got Bible-believing Jews and Israel's program thinking, What's the deal here? Why? And I would be rightly so if I was an Israelite back there believing. I was like, wait, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. You promised me. And they have fallen and stuff. That's why they need to understand the delay. Second Peter explains to them exactly what the delay was all about. They're going to need the understanding of the things about the cross work of Christ in relationship to the fullness of revelation that is given by Christ through Paul. That's what, if I'm not mistaken, Peter says, the things that Paul wrote unto you are hard for you to what?
Understand.
And when did Paul ever write to the little flock?
He did not. Mm-hmm. Well.
Well.
In Romans.
Okay. Now you're starting to use your brain a little bit.
Yeah.
He didn't write Hebrews. Okay. But there's some things, and we'll touch on that in a little bit. Paul learned some things about the cross that no one has ever anticipated. Not even the types and symbols in the Old Testament. Types and symbols of the Old Testament looked for that cross, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And also looked towards what? Over here in ages come. But types and symbols that you're looking for in the Old Testament never did show this.
Mm-hmm.
Never did show this. But a lot of things that Paul learned explain how Christ's work at Calvary has accomplished salvation for how many men? Hey, when Jesus Christ broke that bread, said this is the bread and drank the wine, said this is the blood of the New Testament that is shed for, what did
many.
He say? Many. He did not say it was shed for all. Many. Who would that many be?
Believers.
Believers of who? In the kingdom program too.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't get to where he died for all until you get to Paul. Paul says he died for all. That's very, very important to understand, because many of us are wearing glasses this morning.
Mm-hmm.
All of us are not. Okay? That's a big difference. Hebrews takes the truth of the finished work of Christ and applies it to Israel's program and teaches them clearly the doctrines of God intended them to teach them back through the types and shadows. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Even the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13 says, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him and forgiven you some of your trespasses.
Mm-mm. No.
All. Blotting out the handwritten of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. His cross, right? Not your cross.
Amen.
His cross. Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to what?
Come.
To come, but the body is of Christ. Now, that the things taught back there, you know what they are. What are the shadows? What are the meats? What are the respect of holy days? What are the new moons? What are the Sabbath days? Things that was taught back in the first covenant, the law, Moses' covenant. You with me? All those are shadows of things to come. Now, I keep not beating you over the head with this, but religious system will take you back to those shadows and make you believe that those are things that you need to be a part of. Do you know you never was part of covenants? Okay. So that don't apply to you.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, we was Gentiles having our own covenants. We was worshiping our own gods. And before you was saved, you was doing it, whether you believe it or not. That's true. I know I was. But look, what is that to come? The law covenant, Moses' covenant, are the shadow of things to come. Where is that to come?
Ages to come.
Very good. Very good. The things in time past, the types and shadows that God gave Israel are not as shadows of us, but it's the things that come over here. They do not describe for us what God intended for us, the body of Christ, to be. That's why it's very, very important to understand all the Bibles for us. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God. But not all of it's to us. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You better know how to rightly divide that word of truth.
Amen.
And understand that very, very clearly. Now, in a world out there that you're talking to people, they don't understand that, do they? What do you mean you guys chop the Bible up? You just tear it up. No, you don't. They will come at you and say, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Is he not?
He is.
Yes, he is. But how he dealt with man has changed.
Yes.
Man's the one that's changed. And God loves his system. God loves the world. For God so loved the world, what did he love? He loved green grass at home? Little green apples in Minnesota and all that stuff? No. His system, the world that he loved, was his people. That's what he loved. His system out there. He loved. Can an angel be redeemed?
No.
What did Jesus Christ have to become? Lower than the what?
Angels.
The angels, yeah.
And you think about that and Satan and all that stuff. That's why when he came to this earth, he formed man out of dust, the earth. But I'm getting away from this. But rather they are right now a shadow of what God is going to do for Israel. That's what Paul's saying here. They are a shadow, a picture, and a doctrine back there of what God is going to do for Israel in a kingdom. How Israel is going to be able to get her kingdom and the hope and the promises and the covenant of God and gave through them in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, Calvary. It's finished, guys.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ hung on that cross, he said it is finished. It is finished for that covenant. It's finished for that covenant. It is finished for the whole world. Heaven and earth, period. He done it all.
Mm-hmm.
Hebrews goes back and casts the light of Calvary on all those things that God gave to Israel. And how Israel was able to obtain them through the blood of Jesus Christ. They're not going to be able to do it through blood, goats and stuff. They're not going to be able to obtain through the covenants of Israel, Moses' covenant. I think you know that. Hebrews explains the cross to Israel that's accomplished that. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation. So Jude is talking about, he's going back over here what Jesus Christ taught. That's what that was reference of. Okay? You with me? He's going to go back and say, hey, the apostle Lord Jesus Christ taught you these things.
That's in a different time.
Amen. Revelation chapter 1. Okay, we agree or disagree that in the Hebrews epistles, these are also called church epistles, Hebrew church epistles, not the church of the body of Christ. You got to remember, there's three churches in the Bible. You remember what they were?
Church in the wilderness.
Church in the wilderness.
Body of Christ.
Body of Christ.
Kingdom.
A kingdom church. Okay, very good. Kingdom church, the church of the body of Christ, church in the wilderness. That's what they followed back there. So when you say church epistles, just like when people tell me they believe in God, immediately I think, what God do you believe in? Oh, there's only one God. Are they? There are not. Paul talks about gods. Yeah. When Satan was in the garden, he said, you'll be like gods. So they're just more than one God. But the God of creator, that's who you want to narrow it down to. God of creation. God of the Bible. Anyway, Hebrews epistles, what did we determine was up? The wall, the middle wall partition. Remember, it was back over here. Paul says it's down today. Mm-hmm. Broken. Back over here, there's going to be a distinction back between Jew and Gentile. God is going to go back working through his people over here. His system. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by an angel unto his servant John. You and I, you see that? Unto his what?
Servant.
You know what you and I are not?
Servants.
Say it loudly.
Servants.
According to Galatians chapter 4, if you want to turn there, we'll read that right quick. Hold your finger in Revelation. Galatians chapter 4. Now, you're going to serve God, right? You know that. You're going to be a servant. But who's he writing to here? Unto his servants, things that which must shortly come to pass. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from the servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under law, to redeem them which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of what? Sons. Because ye are servants.
No.
Sons. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through who? Christ. You are a son of God today. By adoption. You know? Praise God, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? We talked about titles earlier, woman. No, you are a son of God. Period. Okay? And we was talking, Brother Alex taught up there at the men's meeting several weeks ago about what you deserve. You know how we said we don't deserve this? Mm-hmm. We don't deserve his grace. We don't deserve being seated in the heavenly places. Yeah, you do. You are a son of God. You do deserve that. That's something to think about. It's changed my attitude on some things because, you know, I'm just a worthless old human being. In my flesh, there dwells no good things. But in my spirit belongs to God. I'm a son of God. Guess what I deserve? Everything that God the Father has given Jesus Christ to give to us, you deserve it. That's great. You know, we've talked about gold, silver, and stuff like that, and trading, all that stuff. Hey, God... Gold, silver, and precious stones is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that will outdo anything we can have on this earth. Now I know.
Women are a son of God.
It says we're sons.
The women are too.
Well, how do you say?
We are daughters of God.
No, they don't say daughters of God. It's not sons of God.
But he's
talking. Behind the man, right?
Behind the man, yeah. Well, I don't want to get in a fire or anything, but anyway, let's put it this way. Did God create a woman before man?
No.
Did a man come out of a woman or a woman come out of a man? And once they got married, come together, and become one, right? Okay. Don't get fixated on, well, this or that. But the thing is, Paul is talking to the church. Okay? Yes.
And there is neither male nor female.
So when he says the son, yes, son is who you are in Christ Jesus. Alpha Ward gets that, like, is my wife going to be a male or female? There's neither. We've done established that. But it says sons. We're all adopted as sons.
Sherry, are you a son?
Of Christ?
Yes.
According to the scriptures.
Okay, but so let's keep moving. We are sons, thank you, but servants of what?
Jesus.
The servants in this passage, not in Colossians, but Revelation is what?
Israel's.
Back in Revelation chapter 1, who's the servants, guys?
Israel's.
Are you a servant?
No.
Can you be a servant? Can you be a servant? Can you serve God as a male or female today?
Yes.
When you're in the body of Christ, are they your members in particular? Or fingers or hands? So does he look at you and say, well, that woman's got to cook, that man's got to mow? No, he don't do that. You're going to be put in positions based on that knowledge of that book. But I do believe that God put man, woman, and then children. That's what God did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can take it up with God. Don't fight with me.
Order.
You know, that's you've got to have an order. That's what's wrong with a lot of churches today. Okay? They don't have men stepping up and doing this job. So guess who steps up?
Women.
So what the congregation call them?
Pastors.
And you're like, and I know what the Bible says about pastors. You know what a pastor is?
Man.
A shepherd.
A shepherd. You know Moses married a pastor?
Mm-hmm.
Well.
And you're like, so is scripture? But the Bible clearly teaches, I don't get off the beaten path here, but the Bible clears it. If a man desires the office of a
bishop,
and married to
one woman.
So how can a woman that's standing in the role of a bishop be married to a woman?
That's possible today.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. So you can get a Bible version for any. You go to some of these churches, and I have, through watching marriages, or, you know, first thing I do, I sit in that pew and I look at their Bible. And I took a screenshot of that Bible that my niece got married in that church. And it said, it didn't say anything, office of a bishop married. You know, it changed the words. So there's thousands of Bibles out there that whatever you want to believe, and to believe it's God's word, then you can find it. Man's changed that.
Mm-hmm.
Revelations 1:2. Who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, what's at hand, and what words of the mystery? Is that what it said?
Prophecy.
Mm-hmm. When the prophetic program is in effect, is it in the but now?
No.
When he's talking about this right now, well, I hate to say that right now, but you know where I'm at. When we're Revelation chapter 1, when he says the words of this prophecy, and it's at a time is at hand, is he talking about this time period but now, or is he talking about this time period and time past? Where is he talking about?
Well, he's not talking about time past, but is he talking about ages to come?
That's where he's at. Times past is a program that was spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. In the present dispensation of grace, what was this kept secret since the world began?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? These are words of the prophet. Prophecy is spoken right through them over here. This is what he's talking about, prophecy. Listen, it may not mean much to you, but it makes everything in the world to me to understand the difference between prophecy and mystery.
Yeah.
And when I see stuff's written on Facebook or written through, or listen to these preachers that pop up on your tablet and stuff, you know, you look at this stuff and we're in these days. You know, you know, we smile and giggle a little bit now, but I guarantee you, many of you thought we were.
Yeah, Jackie and Epi had nothing of this.
So the thing is, I know what it's not.
Amen.
And I keep telling people, telling people, telling people, I shouldn't tell them. I should consider this, consider this. Listen, listen. Remember that? Listen.
Linda, Linda, listen.
You know,
listen.
The thing is consider what the things that Paul says. You're not in this program over here.
Amen.
But they're going to be a group of people that are. And they're going to have to open up the books. And they're going to be in places. They might be under rocks. We got it made right now. You know that?
Yeah.
You know, a couple weeks ago, people asked us, are you still a Little Grace Church under the law? You know, I said, we're still there. You know, we are thankful to have this place to meet.
Amen.
We really are. You should be jumping and flipping all over the place. There's people out there in ages to come will probably not have a place to meet.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, I'm driving up through the Amish country this morning, and I'm dressed like this driving a big truck. I'm like, you know, and they're lined up going to church. And they're, you know, I'm asked a couple of them because some of them passed a group. I guess they go to different houses, you know, on Sundays. They might pick your house this Sunday and pick your house, that type of thing. But some of them kept going past that house. Maybe they're going to another house. I don't know. But they was lined up. The men were. I don't know if it's a funeral or whatever. I don't know. But they was all lined up, looking nice. And they was men this way and men this way. And they was coming in, people getting out of them. They was going to church. You know, they're using houses. You know, they may be a time, and this, if they ever shut the communication down, they may be a time where we might have to meet in your basement. We all can't get on my little boat. Might have to use Howard's and mine. You know, we'll hook them together and we'll just ride. We'll just float around. We'll be fishers of fish. No, just joking. But anyway, you know what I mean? We may have to find a place to meet, guys, because they might crank down on this system. What did they do in 2020?
Close it down.
Yeah. And we suffered. Listen, I suffered. My eyes started getting dim. My hearing didn't. My understanding didn't, knowledge, but my eyes started getting dim because it started getting like less and less effective. I'll just sit at home. I'll talk to you over this and that. It was very beneficial, don't get me wrong, but it can't replace this local church.
No.
Listen. The present dispensation. Therefore, the present dispensation. That's a mouthful. Dispensation is not prophecy. And the book of Revelation is a prophetic book. Did it just not say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in order for prophecy to take up again, we have to go back to whose program?
Israel.
Kingdom program. Israel program. Yeah. Israelites. Hebrews, hence the Hebrews epistles, Revelation chapter 11. Verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. Verse 2. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall there tread under foot 42 months.
Revelation chapter 1.
Wait a minute, hang on a minute.
Revelation 11.
Chapter 11.
Yeah, chapter 11.
So guess what? God gave John the measuring rod like he gave Zechariah in chapter 2. And he said, go out and measure the temple. And measure the temple that belongs to who? Me, God, said. Put a line around the things that belong to God and leave out the court because it belongs to who?
Gentiles.
The Gentiles. What does that tell you about the status of the Gentiles? Are they in favor with God or out of favor with God?
Separation.
They are accepted into what belongs to God, or are they put out what belongs to God? Is the Gentiles down here in the world, the nation, are they on this side of the wall or on that side of the wall?
The bottom.
In the temple being built, are they inside the temple or outside the temple?
Outside.
That should tell you that. The only way that separation can occur is if the middle wall partitions back up. God does not exclude Gentiles today, does he?
No.
Praise God.
Thank God, yeah.
Yeah. Today we are what? Included. Mm-hmm. The verses in Revelation demonstrates God's bias of dealing with people where he makes a distinction between Israel and the Gentiles. So next lesson we'll pick up back in the overriding edification about these nine epistles over here. And the circumcision epistle is expressed in Hebrews chapter 6, but it begins in Hebrews chapter 5. So the thing is, the overwhelming thing that you need to really think about when we look at that is the fact that a lot of people today will take the time past division and they just override this grace period and take you right in over here and say, this is what's going on today.
And you don't have to do that. You're into peace.
And what a lot of people will tell you today is instead of seeing Israel fallen, they want to be so much part of Israel's program. Because is not Israel in time past God's favorite nation?
Yes.
And wouldn't you want to be a part of what God's doing through Israel? I mean, all honestly, you look over and see God just flourishing and they're in the promised land and milk and honey and everything's living the way they're living and they're flourishing and there's no famine and all that. Wouldn't you want to be a part of that? Yes, you would. God did make a way for Gentiles to be a part of that. There's no... There's,
won't be able to over in the tribulation period. No Gentiles alive.
Well...
No proselytes?
There'll be proselytes, I believe.
Sure, because there's no court of the Gentiles for them to be.
Over here, yeah. Okay, Revelation. But over here, if you get saved right here, you're going to go in the kingdom, and you're going to be part of that kingdom program. Mm-hmm. So the Jews, from my understanding, Jews, when they get... When that Antichrist cranks down on them and try to really get rid of every one of them, God shortens the day. They run out to the wilderness. Mm-hmm. Who feeds them? Not only God feeds them, but the Gentiles are going to feed them. That's why he says, and I think it's Zechariah, that 10 Gentiles will grab a coat of a Jew and walk in that kingdom. Mm-hmm. Now, how can he do that unless he's blessed them?
Sure.
Because if they're really unruly, you probably get off of me. You're slowing me down. No, they get to go in. See, and then people saved right here, and from my understanding, they're sitting on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes, and then they're judging the nations. That's the earthly thing. But what I'm trying to say is what people try to make you do, they try to tell you that trust Christ died for your sins and be buried and rose again, but you have to be circumcised, you have to go under the law, you have to do what Jesus said, you have to follow Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and instead of seeing the fall, they rise this up and make you a part of Israel's program. There's universities, Christian universities teach that.
They say we're grafted in so we become a part of them and their program.
Okay, and that grafted in, my understanding is over here.
Right.
I think we're spiritual Jews.
Now, Sherry mentioned earlier when I mentioned something, when did Paul write to the little flock? Mm-hmm. You ever read Romans chapter 9, 10, 11? Who's he talking to there?
Israel.
He's talking to not lost Israelites, because they're down here. He's writing to them and explaining to them about the postponement. That's why when we look at Book of Romans, first five books is about justification. You get that down, forever settled. You get those first five books. If you want to talk to your loved ones and say, listen, you might not listen to me, but listen to the Word of God, read Romans, the first five chapters of Romans. Just read them. Get it down in your soul, because it deals with justification And when that justification is forever settled, guys.
Amen.
Paul never ever brings that back up ever again through his epistles. You're justified one time. Then Romans chapter 6, 7, 8 is what?
Sanctification.
Sanctification. How are you sanctified today? You call yourself saints. Mm-hmm. What do saints mean? Set apart. Sanctified. How are you sanctified? You're dead to sin. Mm-hmm. You're dead to the law. You're dead to the flesh. That's your setting yourself apart. Hey, Israel was set apart. Mm-hmm. And people watched them in the flesh. Does people watch you in the flesh today? Mm-hmm. They really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm going to see if Ed's going to stumble today. I knew he wasn't saved. I ate pepperoni last night, guys. I ate bread last night. You know, they wait for you to stumble. God said, I'm sanctified. Paul says, God through Paul says, yield your members. Chapter 8 also deals with what? Glorification.
What?
Glorification. Chapter 8 does. You're glorified. Mm-hmm. How you glorify?
Through
Jesus Christ. Then Romans chapter 9, 10, 11, we call that dispensation. How is God is he's showing a dispensational change with Israel. Okay? Mm-hmm. Then you Romans chapter 12 through 16 is what we call application. You start applying what you learned through those other 10 books and start applying to your life. That's the book of Romans in a nutshell. But you got to get the justification down. I know a brother was here for years, but what if I do this? Mm-hmm. What if I do this? You're saved. Paul never writes to the lost person. The only thing he says about, I wish my all of Israel will be saved. He does. Where you find that at? Yeah. So he would gave up his own salvation for his kinfolk. How about you? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you love your family? You know.
Would I want to spend my whole eternity in hell for somebody else? No.
Well, what I'm saying is, Paul knew he couldn't lose it, but he would give up the knowledge. I would, you know, but what I'm saying is, you wouldn't die for your wife right now?
Right now.
Not for enough time, I'm giving up anything.
Raise your hand, Ed, please.
Oh, I would. Yeah, I mean, we're trained as a husband and to protect our family.
Yes.
You know, and if an intruder came in there and had your wife with a knife to her throat and says, you're going to die. Okay, he's raising his hand up. You know, you would say, take my life. You know, you take my life. You know what I mean? But anyway.
Well, isn't the message in that your love should be more for others than ever for yourself? I mean, that's the whole premise of Apostle Paul's message is, don't love yourself so much that you can't love somebody else more.
What is John's? There's no greater love than love you get,
than a brother that will lay down his
friend. Yeah, for a friend. So if you're my friend, I'd die for you. They may come a day that drag you out in the streets and say, denounce this.
Yeah. Well, look at the people in the military. I mean, their young men go in and say, I'm giving my life for this country.
Yeah. Well, John,
people they don't even know.
Yeah.
I know, and when you go there and you start bonding and you have that battle buddy, you're going to die for him.
Sure.
Yeah. You're going to support. Now, anybody else, you may not, but anyway. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the things given us. Lord, as there someone out there might be listening and searching for what you have to say through your word, and we know that we don't have the answers, but you do. And all the answers found in this wonderful book. And if we rightly divide it, we can understand that today is the day of salvation. Mm-hmm. Today is the day that you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again for our sins, according to scriptures, and we are saved. And not only saved, we're sealed and sanctified to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, sorry, got a little teary-eyed there for a minute. But we do want to thank you for tuning in. If you want to support us through our website, there's a donate button there. When we use a box cast, there is a cost. We also support Grace School of Bible if you want to help us through that. And then if, by all means, we'd love for you to come and visit us. What we people,
amen.
What we saints of the Most High,
amen.
God. Wouldn't you love to see the people that's watching us on the internet to come and visit us? Yes, you would. But once again, listen to this. And right quick, we have our conference. If you want more information, go to our website at dispensationalbiblechurch.org. Or OhioGraceMinistries.org for our conference coming up in May, the Ohio Grace Ministries. It's going to be a great time. We hope to see you then.